send the pestilence and plague into your house, into your bed, into your streams, into your streets, into your drink, into your bread, upon your cattle, on your sheep, upon your oxen, in your field, into your dreams, into your sleep, until you break, until you heal. I send the sword, I send the sword, the sword.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and holy uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
Doing great, man. Just enjoying another nice Sunday. A nice Sunday with my buds. Going to chat about the Bibles. We're in the thick of it on Exodus. Going to have some funsies. I went for a run already into the farmer's market like a real suburban man. I'm feeling good.
What the hell has happened to you, man? I used to respect you.
I used to be all rock and roll and bar fights, as they say. But no, I don't think I was adjacent to a bar fight once, and that was bad. That's about as close as I have ever gotten.
I was also adjacent to a bar fight. The first time I was ever in a bar. That's why I've never gone back to one of those terrible places.
But I'm excited for today.
Yeah, me too. I think we've got some fantastic Bible content coming up. And more importantly, today, our guest is our buddy Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, hello. Thanks for having me on. It's an honor. I'm excited. Like I said, we're kind of in the thick of it. These are the juiciest parts of the Old Testament, I believe. So appreciate having me on.
Yeah, this is definitely a highlight for me. So excited to have you on. A fellow podcaster, a more Indeed. Accomplished podcaster, if I might say.
No.
One of the hosts of Normies Like Us. Mike, would you tell us a little bit about your show?
Yeah, so Normies Like Us is a show I do with a couple of friends. Colin, who has been on this show, actually, as one of my co-hosts. And we just do a weekly podcast covering pop culture, games, movies, comic books, anything like that. Try to look at how something went from being really niche and nerdy at one time to now part of just pop culture as a whole, you know, a la Marvel, for example.
Well, that's a little bit like Christianity.
Wow.
Used to be.
That's true. You're absolutely right.
its journey into popularity involved, you know, a lot of blood and murder and crucifixion.
There's been canon reboots.
Now.
Yeah, right? There's been canon reboot.
Yeah, it's like the new 52s, you know.
Absolutely. My favorite director, Martin Luther King.
Yeah, yeah. King James, I think, had a pretty good run.
Excuse me, I guess it's not Martin Luther King, it's just Martin Luther.
Yeah. That's all right.
Oopsie. Cut that part out. We'll just mash in Martin Luther on there.
just be a hard cut.
Cut the king off the end.
Yeah.
Well, Daniel, you were mentioning it being a wonderful Sunday morning with friends. When you went to church, did you have like a class in the morning before church?
Yeah, we actually, now that I think about it, I think we did it a little differently than some churches in the sense that it was much earlier than a lot of churches. I was at church at like 8 a.m. and it was like at 8 o'clock we were in Sunday school. And then you went from Sunday school to a 2.5 hour service. So we're talking like a 3.5 hour ordeal. But yeah, there's always a Sunday school, which is like, I don't know, it just seemed a little unnecessary. Because then you then have church that Sunday night and on Wednesday as well.
Well, I think you're just belly aching, Daniel, because I was at church at 8 in the morning, too, and I enjoyed Sunday school, but our service wasn't 2.5 hours long. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, we had the option to do Sunday school or standard service, which is only an hour, so it's like, yeah, do you want to sit around and do like a Noah's Ark coloring book or just sit in the boring church? But it was never doubled down like that, so.
Okay. That's when I was younger, they took the kids out of the church after a little children's sermon, and then they colored for the rest of the day. But we also had a Sunday school that just went right into church when I was older. But there was always a bunch of food at Sunday school. Or at least donuts.
We were also a born-again family. So my entry into church was around the age like 13. So I that's probably why it seems more a little worse in my mind because I skipped all the fun coloring book stuff and went straight into the teenage. Like, you now have to learn about all the real stuff and all the, you know, there's a lot of talk about sex and not doing it.
Emphasis on the not doing it part. Yeah.
Mike, what's your history with Christianity?
I was, you know, my family was Catholic and I went to Catholic school, actually. So it's, you know, Christianity adjacent, you know, we just have more saints and stuff, I guess, on our side. But
I was always jealous of the cool iconography. And I've mentioned before that I really, really wanted a rosary when I was growing up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We had all that going. I didn't realize that was like a Catholic thing. Like, I you know, the line between the two, I was never quite clear on. I just figured, we both have Jesus and God, right? So,
yeah. Similar. Yeah. Nobody's ever gotten into arguments about the minutiae of those things.
We just worship a couple of extra people as demigods or, you know, the saints, as it were. So, but yeah, I grew up with that. And then we got to the dinosaur chapter of science class. And then there was a conflict of interest where I was like, I think I like dinosaurs more than Sunday school. But, you know, this Bible, actually, I had it in my car. This guy gave it to me on the freeway and I just kept it in my car because I was like, if a cop pulls me over and like sees that, he might give me a break.
You know, what I keep in my car is a silver necklace of Saint Christopher.
That's right.
Because my middle name is Christopher, and I read that Saint Christopher is a patron saint related to safe travels. Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to protect you when you're driving around. So I put one in my car just so if I die in a car wreck, people can find that and be like, here's another like check on the maybe this is bullshit.
I see. Put one in the bucket. He's a Patreon saint of travels, yes.
So not only am I an organ donor, I'll be donating some scientific data when I die.
In my car, I keep a just kind of like a computer printer printout of Billy Graham, kind of just taped on the dashboard, you know, and just kind of a throwback to my old ways.
There you go. If Jesus can't take the wheel, Billy's always available.
Yeah, at least that hairspray, William.
Dude, that man drives like a bat out of hell. There's no doubt.
I bet that man hasn't driven. Is he, even if he's, I don't know if he's dead or not, but anyways, I think he may be dead, but his life, he probably didn't drive very much at all.
Yeah, that man had some chauffeurs, I guess.
He had one of them holy chauffeurs.
Well, speaking of holy chauffeurs, in Egypt right now, we've got Aaron kind of guiding Moses around Egypt, taking it to Pharaoh. They've already done one plague, or God has already shown his wrath via, the plague of blood, turning water into blood. But Pharaoh still doesn't want to let Moses' people go out of Egypt. And Exodus 8 is going to be a doozy.
I'm sensing a trend with Pharaoh not wanting to let the people go. and I want to ask, who is Aaron? Because I just like would read this. I'm like, yeah, and then Aaron, and like it's like they're bros just palling around Egypt. Like, all right.
So Aaron is Moses' brother. From what I understand, he is Moses' birth brother that, you know, they were separated when Moses was put in the basket by the river.
Okay.
And when God tells Moses he's going to be a prophet, he's like, I don't know if I'm good for that, Lord. I have a speech impediment. And he's like, fine, your brother will do all the talking.
Okay.
Last night, Daniel and I watched The Prince of Egypt. And they totally neglect this. Aaron is played by Jeff Goldblum, and he's just kind of an antagonist. And in the Bible, Aaron is doing half the work. He's performing some of the miracles.
Yeah, he's like, hey, tell Aaron to go bust out the staff. We're going to get this thing going. Yeah. I was like, damn, Aaron seems like a real solid bro, and he literally is a solid bro, I guess.
They did him real wrong in DreamWorks' Prince of Egypt.
Yeah, poor Aaron. Poor Aaron gets the shaft.
Well, I'm going to get started reading this here chapter, Exodus 8, out of the New International Version. It is not in the public domain, but it's available for free online. So,
all right.
Let's hope that protects us. All right, this is Exodus chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will send a plague of frogs on your whole country. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and your bedroom and onto your bed, in the houses of your officials and on your people, and into your ovens and kneading troughs. The frogs will come up on you and your people and all your officials.
Oh my God.
Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same thing by their secret arts. They also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt.
Oh, all right, nice dude.
I love that part of it is that they're gonna come up into your beds. Ooh, that would be gross.
And then they're gonna be in your bedroom, but then also on your bed. It's like they could really run this through like a Grammarly, I think.
Well, efficient. my favorite part is that they get the answer right there. The frogs are already coming up into their ovens. That's what I've been saying, is these people just need to have a frog leg feast.
That's true. Just turn on the oven. You got dinner.
Yeah.
Unlimited. It's just funny that the magicians, too, they're like, oh, you're going to bring a bunch of frogs around? Well, check this out. We'll just make more frogs. That's a solid defense.
I like the idea that they're in a plague of frogs, and the magicians are just like, look over here. There are also frogs.
Right. I don't understand why. It's kind of, you know what? It's kind of weird because the Bible makes a point early on that the Lord is going to harden Pharaoh's heart. And then there's some ambiguity later on in the next couple of chapters, but they still have to add a little bit on there that the magicians also make frogs. So that lays a little bit of doubt onto, like, you know, that what Moses is doing is somehow, you know, from the God or the Lord.
Yeah. These magicians are powerful men.
Yeah.
The Bible continues to say, it's not like they fake it. They just do it. The magicians do it.
Mm-hmm. By their secret arts.
Yeah, which might imply like the old Egyptian gods, maybe. Like, so it's like they're literally waging war against like the pantheon of Egypt and the one true God, kind of. And they're magic users.
This is the Harry Potter spinoff I want to see, is about the school of plagues in Egypt or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a sick wizard school.
Yeah, Crucio.
Let's continue to give our listeners unbearable pain as we pick back up with verse 8. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people. I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, I leave you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. Tomorrow, Pharaoh said. Moses replied, it will be as you say, so that you may know there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will leave you and your houses, your officials and your people. They will remain only in the Nile. After Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he had brought on Pharaoh, and the Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses, in the courtyards, and in the fields. They were piled into heaps, and the land reeked of them. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said.
Damn. Pharaoh's going to be in denial if he thinks he can get away with double-crossing the Lord like that.
Yeah, Pharaoh's in for some more hardship. I
love his attitude, though. Just like, all right, I'll do it. Just kidding. And things it's gonna get worse from here.
I've discovered a fun Quest Bible question that I think we'll like about these here dead frogs.
All right. Bust out that Quest Bible, Daniel.
It says, why didn't Pharaoh ask his magicians to remove the frogs?
That is the burning question I had, Daniel.
It's like, if he can make the frogs, why didn't he just ask them to move them? And it says, the God of the Israelites had sent the plague, and therefore he must remove it. Egyptian gods might have been expected to perform the same powerful acts or to protect the people from antagonistic powers, but they would not have been expected to remove what another god had done. So it's just not their job. It's God bureaucracy, I guess, is what's going on.
Yeah, man. They don't have the correct paperwork to get rid of those froggies.
Yeah, that's for sanitation. That is not, that's not Horace.
Yeah.
Got some God lawyers. Well, coming up next, I've got a subtitle that reads The Plague of Gnats, which to me is one of the most terrifying plagues.
Yeah, that one sounds like it sucks. Seems like they would get in your ears.
Yeah, and in your nose.
I read the LeBron James, the King James Bible. They're the same guy. But we had the plague of lice, but I guess small bugs either way.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. That's a wild translation difference.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, but either one, maybe just small bugs in general. It's a nightmare, like I said, getting in your nose and in and on your bed. Oh, geez.
Oh, well, thanks for pointing that out. Lice is... Maybe makes more sense because, spoiler alert, the plague right after gnats is flies, which seems like...
We're throwing a softball at you first. Yeah. You want to send you bigger gnats.
So this is verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt the dust will become gnats." When they did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the ground, gnats came on the people and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not. Since the gnats were on people and animals everywhere, the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said.
Oh, geez.
This is the first one the magicians can't replicate.
Because even they're like, "Whoa, this is beyond me, Pharaoh. I don't know. You might want to start listening."
Dude, this is the one magic trick I could do. You just leave a banana in the trash,
and you'll have gnats.
Yeah.
I do just like the magicians battling against Moses' magic, and like they're finally like, no, they have unlimited power.
Like, we can't make beings. We can't make, you know, even small beings. We can't make, we can't make those.
Well, they made frogs. They made snakes.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
But bugs are different, you know. Exoskeletons we can't do.
That's the problem. I do love the imagery of the dust becoming the gnats.
I like the imagery of extending his rod and striking the ground. Oh, that's what that was, yeah. But I think some of these, didn't they affect, like, also the people of, like, Moses? Like, they were also getting wrecked, right?
No, I think we get into a little more detail later. At least some of the other plagues specifically avoid Goshen, which is where the slaves live, I suppose.
It's, like, spelled out, yeah, okay.
Yeah, they start to point that out later, and I think in some of the research I looked at, everyone just assumes that the Israelites were, like, spared from them. Although, I'm kind of a purist as we go through this Bible. I mean, it doesn't say it in the Bible. It says all of Egypt. But also, Goshen is not, it's not Egypt.
The land, because when Joseph sold them all into slavery, the land, I believe, was, belonged to Egypt as well.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It doesn't necessarily, at least for the gnats and the frogs, it doesn't necessarily say that, but I think most people assume it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whether it be gnats or lice, this is kind of like a boss that you beat the first stage of and you think you're done, but then here comes stage two, the plague of flies, verse 20. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the river and say to him, 'This is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies. Even the ground will be covered with them. But on that day I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This sign will occur tomorrow." And the Lord did this. Dense swarms of flies poured into Pharaoh's palace and into the houses of his officials. Throughout Egypt, the land was ruined by the flies. So I guess that answers our question. Maybe this is the first time God is avoiding Goshen.
and we now know who the Lord of the Flies is, which is great. But yeah, it seems like it's explicitly said here, like, now I'll make a distinction between my crew and your crew. Before, he's just laying waste to everything. Like, yeah. Oh, shit, my bad, guys.
I had a great idea all of a sudden.
You know, those frogs and those gnats and lice you've been dealing with. Sorry, Goshen. We'll make sure you're good for the next one.
So I think about this History Channel special I saw when I was much younger about how the plagues might have actually happened. And I feel like this is something that a 90s TV program would be like, well, the land of Goshen was on more arid land. So the flies came out of the river, and while they inhabited the metropolis of Egypt.
Yeah, the science behind it. This one sounds terrible. Like, if the flies are so thick that they're like covering the ground, like I don't like one fly in my home, let alone like. I mean, frogs and gnats, too, like, in my oven and everything, but damn, this is pretty rough.
This is making them wish they had the frogs back, you know?
Oh, my God, they cancel each other out.
Yeah. If only they'd done this in a different order.
Yeah.
Well, they have all those dead frogs laying around, and then now they have all those flies flying around. Like, this is it's really a bad combination.
Because it's like 3 days, because it's always tomorrow we're going to do the thing. So this is like 3 days of like frog carcasses, you know, corpses and stuff. Yeah. Man, it's a mess. Egypt is a mess.
It's got a lot of protein, though. That's all I'm saying. True. Those Egyptians are getting built.
Yeah, nobody's going hungry.
I'm going to pick back up with verse 25, and I'm just going to read through the end of the chapter here. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, Go sacrifice to your God here in the land. But Moses said, that would not be right. The sacrifices we offer the Lord our God would be detestable to the Egyptians. And if we offer sacrifices that are detestable in their eyes, will they not stone us? We must take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God as he commands us. Pharaoh said, I will let you go to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God in the wilderness, but you must not go very far. Now pray for me. Moses answered, as soon as I leave you, I will pray to the Lord, and tomorrow the flies will leave Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Only let Pharaoh be sure that he does not act deceitfully again by not letting the people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Then Moses left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord did what Moses asked. The flies left Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Not a fly remained. But this time, also Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. The end.
Oh, nerds.
At this stage, Pharaoh is hardening his own heart.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of where it gets a little bit of a gray area. But he's due to himself. I wonder if he just assumes, like, this will be the last thing he can come up with. It's like, Moses, all I got to do is tell him he can leave, and he does it for me every time, automatically. It's like, maybe he doesn't have any more tricks to pull. Maybe the flies were the last of it.
This is as bad as it can get, yeah. What more could possibly happen?
I also like that, Moses answers him like, no, we can't do the sacrifice here. Your people will stone us. It's like, Pharaoh, can't you make a speech or something? And be like, leave these people alone while they make their sacrifices?
Well, he'd just say that he would make the speech and then not do it.
I guess that's true.
But I do love that. Like, hey, go tell God to stop, please. All right, will you let us go? Yep. All right. And then, psych. Like, that's this whole chapter.
Maybe Pharaoh just has, he's obviously he's Pharaoh. He can do whatever he wants, but he's not so powerful that he can have people not stone someone if they really, really want to. Like, he's like, look, I can't stop them from stoning.
It's a powerful urge.
We don't have the enforcement, yeah.
Have you guys ever seen The Life of Brian?
I have not.
This is a Monty Python film, but my favorite part is there's a stoning. They leave the Sermon on the Mount, this group of people watching Jesus speak, and they're like, come on, we're going to go to the stoning. This is boring. And they'll only let men into the stoning, and there's a woman there with them. So she buys a fake beard outside of the Colosseum and walks in, and when they get in the Colosseum, the whole crowd is all women and fake beards.
Nice. Just like,
love their stonings.
Oh, yeah. No, Monty Python's great.
Well, that is all of Exodus 8. Any other takeaways before we rate this thing?
I think we were just looking at, you know, small creatures being an inconvenience on a large scale. That's kind of the strategy for, you know, this wave of the plagues.
Yeah, yeah. It would be upsetting. These are not things that I would enjoy living through. We had some grasshopper swarms in my hometown growing up, where the grasshoppers would, you know, cover the walls of the school outside. Mm-hmm. And we had some, like, semi-connected buildings that had open-air hallways that would just be full of grasshoppers. Mm-hmm. Not a fan.
That's pretty rough. We had a giant bee's nest in our attic. And what they ended up doing was they burrowed, or whatever bees do, a hole through the ceiling. So we never knew they were in the attic. And then one day we woke up in the summer, and there was just like thousands of bees in our foyer, and it was insane.
That's,
and so we had to like
terrifying.
Cover our faces. So yeah, we had a plague of bees in our house. Luckily, we were able to sneak out the PlayStation 2 and we could play that on the porch while we waited for the exterminators. But they had 6 trash bags full of bees' nests when they finally pulled it out of there. So that was my plague experience. They were in and on my bed.
God should have thought of that one.
Not the bees. Nicolas Cage would hate it.
Were they the carpenter bees?
No, they were like yellow jackets.
Oh, okay.
Like they were like up in there. Yeah,
the carpenter bees are my least favorite bee. I think they're everybody's least favorite bee. We can all agree on that, right?
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
Their music is pretty good though.
Yeah.
Yeah, any bugs or creatures is very inconvenient.
I've got a plague of a car horn out here.
You're being plagued by Los Angeles right now.
Yeah, we got the smog.
The truest plague in our lives.
Entertainment media?
Well, I would rate this chapter, man, I'm going to give this 4.5 plagues. Because I just don't see how the Bible can top these kind of cinematic descriptions of God's wrath. I'm into it.
Is the rating out of 5?
Yes.
I think this is still the warm. These are the early rounds of the championship match here. So I think I'll give it like a 3 plagues out of 5, because I think there's some escalation coming up.
Very fair.
Which is even more exciting.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I feel both of you on this one. I do, when we were watching The Prince of Egypt, and we'll have a whole podcast on it, but one thing that happened was the plagues were essentially a montage. And at first it didn't make sense, but it is kind of, it's almost like, it's written in the Bible kind of like a montage. Like, it's just like a quick, like, that's how you would do it in a movie. I don't know, this one was great. There was, I'm loving how Pharaoh is just, he's just turned into an asshole. Like, at first, I thought he was just getting played, but no, he's a jerk now. So,
oh, wait, he wasn't a jerk when he was only a slave driver?
Well, listen, we're grading on the Old Testament curve here, okay? But that's all to say. I'm gonna give it a 4.0 flies.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us, Mike. Would you be down to come back for another episode?
Oh, I would love to, especially with where this is going. Like, we're getting the fire and brimstone. Let's go. I'd love to be back.
Hell yeah. Well, we'll see you in a couple days. Once again,
sounds good.
You should check out Normies Like Us. We've mentioned it before. It's an excellent podcast. NormiesLikeUs.com, or wherever you get those podcasts, right?
Yep. Thank you, sir. iTunes, Stitcher, all that kind of CastBox. Check it out. Appreciate it.
And you can find us at HostedPod on Twitch, on Instagram, Gmail, all those things. And I guess that's it. We'll see you next time on Reading Heathens. Bye-bye.
Later, gang.
So long.
The chance to make you laugh was all I ever wanted. I send the thunder from the sky, I send the fire raining down. And even now, I wish that God had chose another. Serving as your foe on his behalf is the last thing that I wanted.